Good evening, I'm Anthony, and I'm a recovering addict. I sure set myself up this evening, didn't I? When I got the call, they asked me that I wanted to do this workshop. And, you know, sure, I jumped up real quick and said, yeah, I'd do it. And then after I thought about it, I looked at my wife and I told her, man, what the heck I done just done? She said, what's your topic? I said, unmanageable. She said, well, hell, as unmanageable as your life is, shit, that'd be just good for you. And I mean, she kind of got a point. You know, I've been here for like 13 years, right? And I figured by this time, life would be balanced and I'd be in pretty good shape. I've been to manage my life just, you know what I mean, just as well as the next manageable person. But you know, we was coming up here last night, and my wife told me, she said, well, won't we, she said, we got a couple of credit cards. Won't we, you know, make reservations and do like managed folks do? I said, we're going to do it. And so I'm procrastinating. Shit, last night we were running around at 1 o'clock in the morning trying to find a hotel. Right? And I'm going to tell y'all, it ain't got nothing to do with not having the money. You know what I mean? I own a home today, so y'all know because of my life so unmanageable, I refinanced as much as I could. And so it ain't really that got nothing to do with the money. It's the way I think, you know, the way I unmanageable. And it says my life, our lives is unmanageable. So it ain't just got nothing to do with money. My money is pretty much everything else. You know, I've been on my job for April the 28th would be 30 years, right? And people say, well, God, no, wait a minute, don't clap yet. Because people don't realize how, you know, when you use for 30 years on a job, buddy, you know, can you imagine how you're treated, you know? You know, Pete, you're a liar and a thief for one thing, so nobody trusts you. Managers don't trust you. Your employees don't trust you. Maybe you try to take everything ain't nailed down. And so I know, but only through the grace of God, you know, I know at my end, I said, man, I was tired of, I didn't want to work no more because I couldn't stop using because of the paydays, right? You know, every payday, you know, I'm using, I say, well, shit, that's it. Then every payday come up, shit, I'm using it again. So it got so bad where I couldn't hold on to a paycheck past Monday. And, you know, Monday, you know, you got to catch the bus and go to work. I don't know how many addicts don't own no cars. See, I was a low-bottom addict, so I had to jump on the bus. And so eventually I got tired of bumming transfers. I mean, y'all, let me tell you, I didn't make a little bit of money. You know what I mean? I mean, I ain't make a whole lot of money, but I made enough money to buy to get to work every day. And I couldn't do but every Monday, man, I'm out there, man, with my head down bumming transfers. And somebody just happened to tell me one day that it was a meeting a couple of blocks up the street from where I lived at, and I said, well, hell, maybe I try recovery one more time, you know, because, I mean, I was, you know, at my end, managers was chasing me up the alley trying to get the evidence out of my black bloody rags and cookers and stems and shit. I'm running up, and they chasing me, and here I'm, you know, here they in their 50s, and I can't outrun them and shit. Oh, man, it was really a mess. And But man, it's sometimes, man, it is just so hard, man, when you're in the grips of this thing called addiction, man. And I mean, I don't care how good you try to be and how well a person you try and become and how good father and all. Because, you know, I tried all those things. You know, I got a couple of children, and I really wanted to be this great dad. But this disease wouldn't let me. So, and you know, it, you know, when you try to hold on and be a family, you know, it's a lot of resentment and all that is created, especially with the family. And you know, but I was lucky enough to get introduced to the program again. And let me tell you something. When I finally surrendered, and I didn't know I was surrendering. Somebody told me it was a meeting a couple of blocks from up the street. I said, well, let me give it one more shot. Right, and I went to that meeting, and matter of fact, I raised my hand at 12 o'clock, and I told y'all I had used that night, and I mean, ain't nothing special happened, y'all. You know, y'all at the end of the meeting, y'all give me a little hug and give me a few numbers and sent me on my way. And but I got meetings all that day because I was broke, you know what I mean? And for real, I couldn't think of nobody I could borrow some money from payday. And I mean, nobody would trust me no more. So I said, I might as well get to a meeting. Maybe I run into a couple of friends that maybe I can give me $10, $20 for, but shit, ain't nobody. I burned all them bridges. So I said, well, I just sit still through meetings. And at the last meeting, I left my mother's house and I came up to the meeting and pulled on the door. And the door was locked. I said, damn, what am I doing now? Then I thought about a friend of mine who will give me a bag of dope on tick to pay that, right? And just so happened it was raining outside. It was raining kind of hard. And I said, damn, what am I doing now? And I sit in front of that meeting. I said, well, maybe I'll just let it, you know, let the rain die down. And I get on up and go down here and try to get my bag of dope on tick. And when it stopped, I went to get up. And a guy came outside that door and asked me, why was I sitting there? And I said, well, shit, I came to get the last meeting. He said, well, you know, you can come on upstairs and talk to me for a while. The meeting started another half an hour. Now, I mean, I didn't have no idea. I was surrendering at that point. But by the grace of God, that was almost 13 years ago, y'all. And, you know, I mean, I've been able to hold on to the job and that kind of thing. And when they told me that I was going to do this meeting and because I had to identify with the unmanageability part. Even, you know, being on that job for 30 years, man, I'm still struggling with getting 30 hours of leave. You know what I mean? I remember my supervisor told me, God damn, you ain't got enough leave to go to the goddamn bathroom. I said, what you mean by that? He said, shit, if you stay in there too long, we're going to dock your ass. Then you're going to be AWOL. You know, and I mean, I ain't kidding. So, but now, you know what I mean? I'm not really all, you know, right now, y'all, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm 53 years old soon. With 30 years, I'm looking forward to retire. So now I ain't really trying to save up a whole lot of leave now. You know, but I really need to concentrate on managing my life a little bit more in them areas. Because just before I came here, you know, I'm really sick, y'all. And I'm not trying to, create a spin, you know what I mean? Because I like to. The sense of humor that I have, you know. But I'm really sick today, and just so happened I got shot about a little over 13 years ago, and I lost a kidney, and you know, I always said that, man, that kidney wasn't no problem, because goddamn, I live better with two kidneys, you know, since I've been here, right? And just so happened now the kidney had failed. Oh, did I lie? Yeah, I mean that's easy too now. You know. But when they say our lives is unmanageable, man, that means part of me getting having some manageability in that area too. But the doctor told me a couple of weeks ago, they told me that I was going on dialysis. That I was going on dialysis. So, you know, I ain't never really been sick in my life other than getting shot. So, you know, of course, my first initial thing up here was, you know, look like life is over now. You know what I mean? But somebody told me, shit, it's just another chapter. So just, you know, just hold on. Matter of fact, it might be a little better. You know, but so I went to the doctor last week, because I didn't really think I was gonna be able to come up here and do this meeting. And part of me was a little relieved, and part of me just kind of wanted to do it. You know what I mean? Just to see if I could. You know, just see if I have gained enough courage to come up here and share my experience, strength, and hope. Because, you know, it takes that much, man. You know, I was sitting down in the chair. I said, shit, should I get up and run out this motherfucker? somebody will step up. Meeting goes on, man. But the doctor told me that because of my numbers, and y'all know this only by the grace of God. My doctor told me my creatinine level is supposed to be, I think it's like 1.3 or somewhere in there. And my creatinine level is 8.9. And if some of y'all might not understand what your creatinine level is, but some people, I'm quite sure there's a few people in here. I ain't all alone with this kidney shit going on, right? And the doctor told me that normally at that level, I shouldn't be able to walk from here across the street. But you know, I know what the deal is. You know what I mean? I got a higher power that still ain't finished with me yet. You know what I mean? We ain't finished. Look at me. So they put it off for 6 weeks. You know, put it off for 6 weeks. But you know, I guess I'm being prepared to. You're getting bored. So I heard somebody yawning. where was I at? So I'm here, you know, and I feel pretty good, and I don't know, man. Right now. Reason why I said that in my life, who knows, you know, when things happen to us, it don't always happen to us, sometimes it happens for us, right? And I found a place in my life now that's so dear and precious to me. You know, I just start having step meetings at my house. And that kind of thing, and since I've been doing that, man, I've been really feeling the growth on the inside. You know what I mean? And I don't know what else God has in store, man. But all I know that I just want to be available. You know what I mean? I'm a product of Swan Street, and I told some of my half partners out there that I was going to mention Swan Street, the block we grew up on, and you know, it was always a good place to be raised up. But all of a sudden, when the '60s hit, man, families felt as though they could, you know, get together and use and sell and that kind of thing, and that brought a whole twist to the loving and caring that our families once had. But again, you know, I'm grateful. I hope I got shared this message of hope and the promise of freedom that this program have to offer. You know, I used to think that stuff Martin Luther King was talking about, let freedom ring, let freedom ring. I used to look for mountaintops and shit. And man, I realized where the freedom had, and the freedom is on the inside. You know what I mean? I was reading a book, and it said the disease know where to hide all the good things that I have, like caring and loving and considerate and all those good things and gifts that God bestowed me with. But the disease put it inside me because it know I never think to look there for them. You know, it knows what it's doing. You know what I mean? So, man, y'all just don't know how grateful I am, man, to be over here. You know, as nervous as I was, you know, I mean, and I hope that I did okay. Matter of fact, I'm getting a little nervous the more I talk. Let me shut the hell up. Like I said, the message is hope, and the promise is freedom. Thank you.